Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. In a number of recent talks, I've been emphasizing the importance of not blaming, holding a grudge against ourselves or others. I want to try to show some of the implications of this teaching, how vitally important it is, and talk about the nature of the opportunity that opens up for us when we can do this. Just as all doubt is rooted in self-doubt, so all blame is rooted in self-blame. All hatred is rooted in self-hatred. What is self-blame and self-hatred? Self-blame and self-hatred are when we are at war with a part of ourselves, when there is a powerful impulse within us to get rid of, obliterate, destroy, kill, eradicate part of ourselves. Just as the spiritual emotional force that we call greed is an impulse in the direction of acquisition of some kind, acquiring a particular experience, acquiring a particular possession. So, the impulse or the spiritual force, spiritual and emotional force that we call anger or hatred, is the impulse to eradicate, destroy. When we are pained, it is natural to wish for the pain to stop. When there is a part of us that pains us deeply, it is natural to wish for that part of us to change in some way so that the pain can stop. The function of pain, physically and spiritually, emotionally, function of all pain, is to serve as a signal of a need. Physical pain signals some form of physical need. Spiritual emotional pain signal some kind of spiritual emotional need. We want the pain to stop. And we can go beyond that to simply want to obliterate the cause of the pain. However, as soon as we do this, as soon as we take a movement in that direction spiritually, we greatly increase our anguish. It's as if our foot was hurting, we try to get rid of the pain by cutting off our foot. So we can't get rid of the spiritual pain by cutting off some part of ourselves, some spiritual part of ourselves. Underneath all spiritual pain lies an ocean of grief. Out of sad and love, out of shock and horror at some event, out of an anguish to grief at some event, beings judge themselves, rightly or wrongly taking the responsibility for something upon themselves, and going further and mentally condemning themselves for what they took responsibility for the action or inaction that they took responsibility for. And so saddened love turns into a dark and impacted grief. And that grief goes eventually into kind of deep storage, waiting one day to get the help of the Eternal, waiting one day to have its darkness be enlightened by the love and wisdom of the Eternal. Cause of the pain, the spiritual pain, is a spiritual need for help. Something that needs to know the love, the certainty of the love of the Eternal. Something that needs to know the acceptance of the way things actually work, that comes with recognizing the immaculacy of no thingness of the Eternal. Love and wisdom. Not human love and wisdom, however helpful those are at times, but ultimate spiritual need needs ultimate spiritual help, and that can come only from the Eternal. So to put it quite plainly, when we make war upon a part of ourselves, we take something that is already anguished and we drive it crazy with its pain. How can that which needs love be helped by further condemnation? If it gets enough of this treatment, it will rebel. And grief becomes a wild grief and a wild striking out. In effect, something in us decides that the best defense is a good offense. So we can easily end up in a kind of a spiritual battle. We're making war upon ourselves. How do we stop doing that if we're doing that? Things need to get oriented in the right direction. And things need to get the opportunity to settle down and quieten. Orientation in the right direction comes from choosing to look up in faith rather than down. Quieting happens through bringing this pain and the need that underlies it and that causes it to the altar of the heart in pure meditation. When it is wild, thrashing grief and pain, when it is wild anger, it may take some firm holding, as it were, some restraining so that it stops its thrashing. Any number of times I heard Rev. Master respond to a question a monk would ask, how do I deal with such and such that's causing me such trouble? And she'd say, tell it to sit still. Sometimes we have to spiritually hold it on the altar of the heart. When I think of this, I think of kind of a loving but firm, loving and firm restraint, as if putting one's arms around a being that is thrashing in its pain, while at the same time remaining oneself very still with an open heart, so that that stillness can permeate that which is being held. It can be thought of like holding a child who's thrashing in grief. Firmly and with love. What is that restraint? Really, it is a restraint of the precepts. Sometimes we experience it as a restraint of one particular precept. Do not be angry. Do not indulge anger. Do not speak against others. Do not kill. Do not drink the wine of delusion. Whatever precept it is that comes up, it comes up for a reason, to help put some limits on the thrashing about and help get the right focus. But beyond any particular precept lies the true spirit of the precepts. And the true spirit of the precepts is a taking refuge in a greater good that embraces everything. And that itself naturally sets the limits. In other words, the true spirit of the precepts is a wholly positive focus. So many times in 1976 and spring of 1977, I heard Reverend Master say, just long for the Lord of the house. What did she mean by that? Just let your heart look up toward the eternal. Just be still in your sitting place. Be still within your own hara. Be still within your own spiritual center and let your heart naturally look up and rise up. And in that naturally occurring orientation upon the true source of all help and all goodness is to be found the true spirit of the precepts. The true spirit of the precepts and the true spirit of pure meditation are identical. This is why while they are always there when needed, the further we go, the more the precepts disappear. Not because we have left them behind. We never leave them behind. But because of what they truly are. Because they are truly always with us. As part of a fundamental aspect of the help of the eternal. Once the containment, the necessary level, and no more than the necessary level of restraint, and the quieting is happening, what then? Then we need to allow that spiritual need within us, in whatever aspect it may be manifesting, whether it's anger, whether it's shame, whether it's grief, whether it's guilt, whether it's longing, whether it's desire, whether it's doubt, whatever it is, we need to allow it to rest within the hara. In our own spiritual center of body and mind. We need to allow it to coalesce there. And to begin to undergo its transformation. As I have said so many times, this spiritual need, with all of its ignorance and all of its pain, is the potential for enlightenment. And it needs its time of spiritual transformation, its time of cooking in Nihara, in meditation. Patient, steady effort is needed. And the willingness to sit with it in meditation, in a formal sense, and in meditation in daily life, the more active meditation in daily life, in all activities, in all situations, to train with it for as long as it takes for it to undergo its transformation. For as long as it takes for the help of the Eternal to work upon it. And heal the wound that is in there. And enlighten the darkness. When all conditions ripen, it rises. And that which rises is no longer anguished. No longer confused. Rises on a fountain of love and longing to meet the Eternal and recognize reunion. The gift of the light of the Lord is everywhere. The palace of the Buddha nature is within ourselves. The deep, true heart wishes to go quickly so their happy meeting may occur soon. This is my favorite quotation of the teachings on reharmonization with the Eternal. The gift of the light of the Lord is everywhere. The Eternal is within all situations, within all need, within all worlds, within all beings. The palace of the Buddha nature is within ourselves, and everything that is within ourselves has the palace of the Buddha nature within it. The deep, true heart wishes to go quickly so that the happy meeting of the Buddha nature of all our need and the absolute eternal may occur soon. The way of the Buddhas and ancestors, the middle path, is a way peace, not an idealized peace that has no difficulties and no pain. But a real peace that does not war upon part of oneself. But that allows every part of ourselves, every aspect of ourselves, to reharmonize with the eternal.